This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Up on Free FM, RFM, and MP. As always, I'm Grady, and live on Discord, we got Josh. Taking a look at Raw and SmackDown coming off of WrestleMania. We got a few debuts to talk about. We got a few feuds starting, a few feuds continuing to heat up. I don't really know where to start, so I'm just going to look at the debuts. On Raw, we saw Ethan Page rock up, made his debut Raw after WrestleMania, and then this Raw seemingly got his eyes on the Intercontinental title, even though Rusev and Javon seem to already have dibs on it as well.
I love Ethan Page. I've said that multiple times. I think him working, having a match with Penta will be incredible. And honestly, this is also something that could, like, in the background, like, sneak Rusev through to actually winning the title. Because you could be so focused on Evans and Paige that you completely forget about Rusev.
Yeah, I think my immediate thought when you've got four people with eyes on the title is like, okay, we'll get a fatal four-way match. Sure, we just had a multi-man match at WrestleMania, but so be it. Whether it's on Raw, whether it's on Backlash, wherever it ends up, if you do that fatal four-way, I do think there's a high chance that Penta walks out without the title. Whether it's to Rusev, whether it's to Javon, you know, letting him get jetpacked a little bit, or whether we're jetpacking Ethan Page to come up onto the main roster and immediately grab gold, I wouldn't be shocked with any of those three winning in a fatal four-way scenario.
Yeah, I think we might get a tag match first, and then maybe it explodes into a fatal four-way.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, Penta's Penta. He's awesome. Javon's young and awesome. Rusev's okay. He's badly missing Aiden English. I think we all agree that the Rusev Day stuff was his peak, and without Aiden English, it's just not the same. And then Ethan Page is just, like, the new hotness. It's also amazing.
Yeah, I think looking at the calendar, we got a May 4th Raw coming up and then Backlash. I know that we've already got three matches announced for Backlash, so maybe we don't put it on there. Depends. We seem to have a lot of four or five match cards, so I'm sure we'll know next week. As you say, maybe even the tag next week. I haven't seen if anything's announced just yet. But could be a new Intercontinental Champion in the next month. And then talking about debuts, sticking on Raw, we had Joe Hendry say that he was going to debut, have a concert, and the Vision didn't want to hear from him, didn't want to hear his guitar.
Probably one of the best, like, introductions they could have given Hendry, because it was essentially what got him over in TNA, what got him over when he came over to NXT, and what got him over, and essentially it did get him over with Raw.
Mm-hmm.
It is funny that Logan Paul is the person he called out, but it'll be interesting seeing how that works out and stuff. But yeah, I think this was a great way to introduce Joe Hendry to the Raw audience.
Yeah, and I think what's interesting about the Vision is that especially when it was on the Seth Rollins version with him leading it, I always thought they were at their best when it seemed like every single person on Raw hated them. And they had 100 feuds open with everybody under the sun. And you never quite knew who was going to actually be challenging them for anything because they just had so many people who hated them. And obviously attacking Joe Hendry here, that's another person in the column who hates them. We know Seth Rollins has his thing with Bron Breakker, which we may talk about more next week as we look at Backlash. But we also had the return of the Street Profits on the Raw after WrestleMania, immediately targeting the tag team champs. So the Vision's starting to rack up that enemies list.
Yeah, it is interesting that the Street Profits just appeared. We do need to figure out what's going on, why they've been gone, why they've decided that they want the Raw tag titles and stuff like that. We do need to hear something about that, but that's for the future.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if they do just sort of jump the queue. I assume some of their absence has to do with Bianca Belair's announcement at WrestleMania. But they were noticeably absent from WrestleMania when I did my little who's missing from WrestleMania. So it's at least cool to, you know, have it confirmed that neither of them are super injured or out for any reason like that. I got such a long list. Raw still. I don't know if it's a debut. I haven't seen if it's official. But Sol Ruka, she poked her nose in on Raw again. Although it was, she did just get killed by Zarya and then taken out that same week on NXT. But I think it confirms that she's main roster now.
Yeah, I think I saw a vignette that she's on Raw. So I'm going to take that as a yes.
Yeah, so that's something that we'd been saying that we were going to get for a while, right? And looks like they've pulled the trigger. They're going to go ahead with it. Might get a couple of weeks off after her match with Zarya, both to sell the match and to heal the stitches she had to get in her head from landing on the table head first. But excited to see what she can pull off as well.
Yep, I mean, she's just in yet another able body that's stacked in the Raw Women's Division, as it is a pretty stacked division.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if what they do with her off the bat, right? I think that's what's really important with all of these call-ups is what do they do first? Do they call them up with some semblance of a plan? Ethan Page seems to have his plan. He's off involved in the Intercontinental stuff. Joe Hendry, we've got something. Sol Ruka, just because she had those leftover dealings with Zarya, we don't quite know what they've got written down for her future, but I could definitely see something with Becky Lynch of the Intercontinental title, maybe. I don't know if we pull the trigger all the way up to world title. Maybe not yet. But I guess talking about women's NXT call-ups poking their heads straight into the world title scene, I will jump to SmackDown. We knew after JC Jane lost the title, it was only a matter of time until she ended up getting called up. Well, she's brought the entirety of Fatal Influence with her, and they staked their claim immediately, attacking in the middle of a women's tag team match, staking their claim on those, and then even getting JC a match with Rhea. It did end in a DQ or a no contest, but still, getting a match with the world champs, not bad.
No, they did need to add another tag team to the women's division after releasing three this past week. And I'm fine with it them bringing all of them up. If that's the point is you're making JC the main star and then having the other two as a tag team and her backing. Because that's been the whole point of Fatal Influence the entire time, is that it's been JC Jane's world and these two support him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think it's definitely interesting to see how far up the card she shot on that that debut episode. We'll have to see if she hangs up there for a long time or if they do settle in a little bit lower. But, you know, Rhea Ripley's wide open, ready for challenges, so you could pull off at least a little bit of an opening feud there for sure.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely not a worse way to debut than facing against the current world champion. It is a catch 22 because... Are you sure? Because it's because Rhea's in Roman territory. You can't bet against her. And that means that your first feud is a loss.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting, right?
Yeah.
I don't know if they'll do a full-blown feud because, as you say, there is almost no world in this universe where I expect JC Jayne to capture the title off of Rhea Ripley in the next month. But a little bit of a feud around it, sure. Don't hate it. But yes, obviously then you're debuting into a losing feud. So then it becomes, what do you do after that? And making sure that you've got those backup plans. And if the backup plans is for the team to capture maybe the tag titles, then that can keep at least a little bit of momentum with the group, or at least be feuding with the champions.
I wouldn't be surprised if they spin, after she loses to Rhea, they spin her off to challenge our new United States champion. I'm doing your segue for you.
I was going to say, look at that segue. I was like, we got to go to song soon, so I got to start talking about Tiffy soon. You did it for me. But unfortunately, I don't really want to talk about this topic because it means Julia lost. But we do have a new women's US title champion.
Yeah, she lost, that's for sure. But it was their best match that they've had. And in all honesty, it was probably, hopefully, this gets the US title out of the vortex that was the same people challenging for it constantly.
Yeah, as much as I love Julia, her as champion has not been it. It has not been it. And I don't know, it seems like as soon as you capture that US title, that, yeah, you either go into a bit of a vortex, there's no real story, no challenge, no heat, no nothing. I kind of just want to see, in one way, I want to see Julia away from the title and see if we can actually build something with her, or if the goods have just gotten too damaged. I'm not entirely sure. Is Tiffy who I would have necessarily have transitioned the title to? Not exactly. But, you know, she's not someone I'm mad that has the championship. Just probably wouldn't have been my first choice to put the feud on, but... yeah, happy to see something change up, because as I said, as much as I like Julia, it needed to change up. Maybe you are right. Maybe we do get Jayne Stratton. There's a few other different feuds with Stratton that we can pull off. People who she didn't fight when she had the world title. So it definitely opens up the doors to a bunch more combinations for sure.
Yep, and you never know, they may do a draft in the next few weeks after Backlash or something, and completely change everything up to begin with. So nothing is set in stone.
That is true. It can always change on a dime. Well, we did talk about Tiffy, and so it is about that time for us to go into our entrance theme, and it's playing for you now.
It's Tiffy time!
And you're back to Wrestling Roundup on Free FM, RFM, and MPR. I'm Grady, he's Josh. Jumping, still, I think, a little bit talking about what happened this week. Obafemi, not quite a debut or a return, but definitely rocket-strapped. Moving his way up the card. He's now issuing Oba challenges, and I presume just going to be destroying people for a few weeks.
This gives him something to do over the summer till we get to either the Money in the Bank or SummerSlam, where we can actually strap the rocket to him. And he shouldn't be losing these. And yeah, so it's just, I think it's a holding pattern thing, but it's something to build him with, keep him going, and just buying time until we get to the major match that we hope comes.
Yeah, I still think some way along the way he'll get that King of the Ring, that number one contendership, take on Roman and win it. But I've got that, you know, in my head now, so now I'm going to be disappointed if it doesn't happen. But yeah, I guess we're just going to have some shows of force until then.
Yeah, I'm honestly, I doubt they do a King of the Ring this year. I think he'll just show up in like the Raw right after the pay-per-view before SummerSlam and say, I have destroyed everybody who's come against me. I destroyed Brock, who you always had to struggle with. Roman, I want a shot. I think I've earned it. Give it to me. And I think that kicks off the road to SummerSlam.
I guess talking about calling your shot against Roman, Jacob did that, right? We just come out of WrestleMania and Jacob says, I want you. And it looks like he's going to get him.
Yep. It's been confirmed that it'll be Jacob Fatu versus Roman at Backlash. So it'll be interesting. I think it's with this is a match we've wanted to see since they brought Jacob in. And it'll be interesting seeing exactly what they do during the match. Again, we kind of referenced it earlier. There is a plot armor that is just being Roman Reigns. It's unlikely Fatu would win the title at Backlash. Stranger things have happened. But what I'm just hoping for is that it's a close match, something that they can then have a legitimate argument for doing it again at some point down the road. And then you could have him win the Money in the Bank. And that be his ticket to the main roster, to the main title. Whether it be against Roman or against Cody.
Yeah, I'm definitely interested at the prospect of the two. They've kind of helped intertwine it as well, where like the Usos are there being like, hey, don't do this. And Jacob's like, nah, I'm still going to do this. And then you got Solo and the MFTs being like, hey, don't do this, or hey, we can offer some help. Nah, I'm good, bro. And I think they've intertwined it with Raw and SmackDown pretty well.
Yeah, and also, I think at this point, as much as people like Jacob, it's nothing compared to how much people love Roman Reigns. So you can't have Roman as the heel. So I think at this point, you have to turn Jacob. So I think he might end up accepting the MFT offer. But it probably, at the very least, might not happen after he loses to Roman in like a close match, and then maybe that we work towards getting him another shot with him basically becoming the leader of the MFTs.
Well, yeah, what I think was interesting about that segment, right, was Solo Sikoa was the one kind of offering that help to Jacob, and Tama Tonga continues his divide a little bit, where it's like, why are we wasting our time on this guy? There's no way he's ever going to beat Roman Reigns. And it continues that divide between Solo Sikoa and his family, Jacob Fatu, and the Tongans, ignoring JC Mateo's weird position in all of this. But it was sort of, the Tongans were like an alliance of convenience. I could definitely see a world where if Solo continues to try and help out Jacob or go down that path, they may not be super happy with that.
Yeah, they're, as all things Bloodline, there's still infinite routes that they can go with, not just this version, the MFTs, but the original with Roman and the Usos. It's also possible that they may have Jacob fall in line with Roman and acknowledge him, much like they did with Jay. There's so much. Again, every time we think the Bloodline's over, they add another inning.
I'll be honest, in the middle there, it felt like the game was going on too long. But I will see how they spice it up from here. I think Jacob did well to sort of escape the vortex, because when he was in it, it was starting to drag. He breaks out, he's done really well as a single star, got that big WrestleMania win, challenging for a title. I'm still kind of glad to see him on his own, But he may be the catalyst to pry away Solo Sikoa or pry away JC or whatever ends up happening. And maybe we see them over on the other side.
Yep. I want to see Solo as a face. I think he's the most unintentional comedian I've ever seen. You could just see like his facial expressions and stuff just making me crack up. So I want to see him as a face, but maybe this could be a vehicle to split him off the MFTs and make him become a good guy. We don't know.
Yeah, I think the thing that's like interesting to note, and they do keep mentioning it, is Solo is the Usos' brother, right? There's a lot of connections where there's blood relationships or agreements, and there's, you know, cousins and third cousins. He's just straight their brother, and I wouldn't be mad if he sort of teamed up with them a bit more, as you said, maybe turned face and joined in their pursuits. I think that they would all rub off on each other and help out the development of all of their characters. So I wouldn't hate it. Danhausen, always love to talk about him. He's getting in the ring a little more often. He's beating The Miz.
Yeah, second match. What can you say? There wasn't much to the match, but it didn't have to be much. It is it was the perfect vehicle for Danhausen. Continues building his character, shows him a little bit off, but ultimately you don't have to do much for Danhausen. And that was the whole point. There's going to be a lot of comedy in his matches and then a quick finish.
Yeah, I think they're doing well not, you know, over giving it to us. I do think the end game of this is still The Miz and Danhausen teaming up. It would be interesting, just given who our current champs are, being Damian Priest and R-Truth, for it to both be some kind of weird relationship tag teams, kind of comedic, kind of serious former world champs. But maybe the titles go somewhere else before they get to Miz and Dan. I don't know. But Danhausen continues to be gold, which is an entire opinion flip from his debut, where I was not as high on the guy.
I was and that's where we differed, because I was like, I had never seen Danhausen before that debut, so I was entirely entranced by him, because I'm like, this is something different. I'm interested. Let's go. And it's been everything I hoped for, and then 1,000 times more.
All right, well, we're getting to that point in the show. So we talked about a bunch of returns. We talked about a bunch of debuts coming up from NXT. We can't get through the show without talking about the releases that were announced this week as well. In terms of big names, you've got the entirety of the Wyatt Six. You've got Aleister Black and Zelina, Kairi Sane, Motor City Machine Guns, Santos Escobar, Alba Fire. A couple of shocking names in there, but I guess, is there any that really shocked you, confused you, anything like
Kairi
that?
Kairi Sane. 100% Kairi Sane. Because they've been doing this whole storyline with her and Asuka and Io, and then to drop her in the middle of it. The only thing I could see is from what I understand, her release is because she just wanted to go home.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe they are going to give her like a one-off at Backlash so that they can pay that off. Her release was just so that she can go and be where she wants to be home. It was very surprising. A lot of the other ones weren't that surprising to me. The roster, unfortunately, we've said this many times over, got extremely bloated over the last couple years. So unfortunately, it was something that probably needed to happen. And it was something I unfortunately referenced a couple weeks back when talking about post-WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think looking at the crop it's not necessarily like confusing me or being the only one really that rocked me was Kairi, as you say, in the middle of the storyline. It felt like even if they were going to release her, they should have, you know, held her, or if she wanted her release, held her around for a couple more weeks to pay off Backlash. But it is what it is. I think the Wyatt Six debut was amazing. And then we didn't quite have a plan. After the debut, we ended up in a vortex with the MFTs over the lantern, not really developing any character. And it sucks because there's a bunch of talented people in that group, but the group just never really found its footing. Aleister Black, being just a recent rehire, I was a little confused over that we were talking almost putting him in a world title match, it seemed. He was in big high profile feuds, but he is just, you know, another body on the roster. I do like the guy. I do like watching him. And then Motor City Machine Guns appeared to be in the middle of a feud that would potentially break them apart. They were going to, you know, they're doing their thing with Johnny Gargano. Could have been how he got out of his funk. And their one, I think they're probably going to be the easiest to land, right? I think that TNA would take them back in a heartbeat. I think AEW is probably jumping at the bit, if out of any of these folks, to get Motor City Machine Guns and bring them into their tag team division. So yep. I think they've probably quickest to be picked up.
I would say they were my least... surprised. Mm-hmm. And it's not because talent or anything, it was just they're getting up there in age, and if you're not going to use them as solo guys at this point, it is better to just let them go do whatever they need to do outside. But and they can say at least made it to WWE, had a title run, and then yeah, you can easily, TNA can easily just sign them and plug them in and do whatever they need to do with them. And I think that's probably what's going to happen. And because I think at this point in their careers, they're definitely not like going to be somebody you can depend on for 5 years. So, but you can give them a 1 year and just build them up, maybe have them win a world title as one of them. And then you could eventually have a one-on-one match between them. And be wonderful. So we'll have to see, but I wish them all the people that were released the best. Go out there, kill it, make money, and make the best that you can do.
I think that's the nicest way to sign off that segment, so I'm just gonna say that we're all out of time. It's been great talking to you.
Bye, D.
You can visit our Facebook page, facebook.com/WrestlingRNDUp, our Twitter page, twitter.com/WrestlingRNDUp, our YouTube page, youtube.com/WrestlingRNDUp, and we will see you next week. The prize right in front of my eyes, and taking up the sky's the limit, got no time to waste. Tonight's the big goal, strike quick but creep slow. The competition is absent the moment that we show. Countdown from 3, go, press X to reload. Deadly still try to topple the kingdom that we own. Outnumbered but outgunning, we're fearless and crowd stunning. This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.